Spotlight. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight, where we are discussing the key takeaways from Economic Survey 2025-26. I am Anubha Rohatgi, and joining me in the discussion is economic analyst Shubhmoy Bhattacharya. Shubhmoy, welcome to Akashvani's Spotlight program.
Happy to be here, Anubha.
Union Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman tabled the Economic Survey 2025-26 in Parliament today. Let's first hear what she said while tabling the survey.
I rise to lay on the table a copy each of the following papers: Economic Survey 25-26, Economic Survey 25-26 Statistical Appendix.
Shubhmoy, the survey looks at key macroeconomic trends of the past year. What, according to you, were the top three takeaways from the survey presented today?
As you know, the Economic Survey of the government is a document which actually, by its very nature, takes stock of whatever has happened in the country's economy between the time the last budget was presented till now. 48 hours later, the finance minister will be presenting the budget for 26-27. So it is expected that the Economic Survey will be giving a snapshot of what had happened, setting the perspective for what is going to happen in the days ahead. But it's also significant that what the chief economic advisor, Dr. Anant Nageswaran, had to say, because this has been an exceptionally turbulent year for the world
right.
economy. And so that's the first thing that we wanted to know, and he did not disappoint by laying out that what have been the key unsettling features, including the Liberation Day tariffs of President Donald Trump. So that's the first thing. Second thing, of course, that despite all the thing, the Economic Survey agreed with the assessment by the Reserve Bank of India that the Indian economy will be growing by 7.4% about in the current financial year. So that's something to feel nice about, because these numbers mean a lot in the current disturbed geopolitical situation. And the third thing is that the Indian economy doesn't seem to have missed doing any correct thing in the 1 year that we have seen. In fact, it's been happening for quite some time. But that's, I think, a very remarkable thing, and we'll have more to talk about. So these three were the major takeaways, of course, as far as the year gone. And of course, when we look at the year ahead, we can discuss that later.
So as you just mentioned, that the survey has given estimates for the growth of the GDP. So let's first hear what Chief Economic Advisor V. Anant Nageswaran had to say about that.
India's potential growth is 7%, and that is why you saw that our GDP projection for 26-27 is between 6.8 and 7.2%. Of course, subject to geopolitical risk factors, commodity prices, etc., all of them can derail the calculations on a short-term basis. But on a sustained medium-term trend growth for the Indian economy, we believe now it is 7%.
Shubhmoy, while retaining a positive outlook on the economy, the survey used the term paradox of 2025. It said India's strongest macroeconomic performance in decades has collided with a global system that no longer rewards macroeconomic success with currency stability, capital inflows, or strategic insulation. Of course, this was a reference to the present global economic uncertainties. What are the implications of this paradox for India, and how can these be tackled?
Actually, it's a remarkable thing that he's pointing out. And to put it on, I mean, like, it has taken decades for India to arrive at this position where we are not only growing at a very fast pace, given the world standard, the average world growth rate is not more than 3%. In that context, India is growing at 7.4, planning to hit even 8. If things go right, that's for the real GDP. So that's awesomely blitzkrieg pace. Along with that, India has got a huge foreign exchange buffer, over $700 billion. Along with that, India has got a very benign inflation. The inflation is just 1.5%. Going into next year, it will not be touching more than 3%. But these are astronomically brilliant projections. And of course, the fact that the economy has got a very large pool of young people and everything. So it should be the place where investment should be coming along massively. But the reason why all of this, as he says, the paradox of 2025 happens, is that all, despite having checked every box, India still has to sort of, you know, dig in further to see, do even more, simply because not that India is not doing well. That's not the challenge. The challenge is the world has become a place for competitive populism on economic policies. And as a result of that, stable, well-balanced macroeconomic policies, frankly speaking, are not counting for anything. I mean, it's quizzical ideas, patterns, fights between nations, and all sorts of things which are determining the flow of global finance. And that's the environment in which India is navigating.
The economic survey, of course, touched upon the services sector and the importance of manufacturing sector as well. It said that while services remain a mainstay for exports, they are not a complete substitute for a goods-based export ecosystem. In this context, how important is India's emphasis, the government's emphasis on, you know, encouraging manufacturing?
Very substantial. So right from the time when Prime Minister Modi came into office in 2014, manufacturing and pushing manufacturing has been a very major article of faith for him. Now, that's taken time to develop because there are so many things because of which Indian manufacturing had slipped up. One of the things was, of course, the fact that capital was expensive in India. So it was difficult to, it was costly to set up a manufacturing unit. The second thing that had happened is the system of permits, the system of licenses from the center to the state to the municipal levels were riddled with too many rules and often contradictory ones. And plus, I would say the challenge that states had lost interest in giving space to industries to push in what is called patient capital for 10, 15 years with a low rate of return to be able to work on so that the manufacturing unit expands, because manufacturing takes time to expand. And all of that has only now started to show traction. Major journals globally have noticed that in India, manufacturing has started to, you know, take shape. Projects are coming up on shape. And I'd allude to three particular sectors. One is, of course, the development of manufacture of mobiles, and that's very big. It's already taken, India is now accounts for 10% of the world's mobile supply. The second one is defense manufacture.
Right.
India is turning out to be a very important place for manufacturing defense equipments and systems. And the third place is the maritime sector, where the government of India has just rolled out a very major incentive scheme for building ships. And all of these are sunrise sectors, sectors where there's a lot of possibilities. But as I said, that they've taken time and effort by lots of people to be able to reach there, allied with lots of things like logistics and others, which we can go on to sometime or some other day, which has led to the idea that manufacturing can take off. So services, despite being big, India is also pushing the ambit on manufacturing, especially considering that the global scenario is so difficult that it becomes very important that India onshores manufacturing a large amount of things. In fact, as the survey points out, that Swadeshi or Atmanirbhar, that doesn't mean that countries will be, which is something and unique to India now. Every country is sort of really pushing the same agenda of making manufacturing happen within their borders.
Chimoy, another important point that I feel should be discussed is about the fiscal deficit, what the economic survey says about it. It says that the government is well on track to meet the fiscal deficit target of 4.4% of GDP estimated for the current financial year. It says India has more than halved its fiscal deficit from pandemic era highs over the past 5 years, underscoring a sustained return to fiscal discipline. How important is it for a country which is aiming to become Viksit Bharat in the next 10 years?
Yes, one of the things that people often talk about in budget, and we can take a step back here to look at that, is that did it sort of change anything? Change in the sense that the tax rates get changed? Did people get earn extra money? What should actually happen with a large, with a central government budget is that actually all of these things should not happen randomly or too frequently, because it takes away the confidence of the investors. So what central government budgets of developed countries like India should be looking at is predictability. And actually, true enough, Indian budgets have become very predictable. In fact, I'll use the word boring. And they should be boring, because budgets should not try to be, is not a place for governments to suddenly set off sudden something interesting, thought of the moment. It is supposed to lay a foundation, a stable foundation where the rest of the economy, the people concerned, can do what they want to do. So if we want Startup India to take off,
right,
and which is, it has taken off, it's the 10th year of the Startup India movement. If we want people to do many projects on their own, create employment on their own, set off interesting possibilities in the small and medium enterprises, then they want a predictable environment. And what does predictable environment mean? That inflation should be low and under control. This is a very, very important thing that should happen. That predictable environment doesn't happen if the government doesn't manage its own finances within control. If the government taxes extra, if the government tries to support certain sectors at the cost of some other sectors, if what it means is that there is a lot of adventurism all around, then that doesn't lead to any good economic policy. So the fiscal deficit being at 4.4% for this financial year, And next year it's supposed to become even better at something like 4.2. And this numbers coming down from the pandemic highs of 9.2% shows that the government is absolutely sure and determined to ensure that the government finances should not be something of a stumbling block for the rest of the economy. Because the government is not a very efficient, no government is a very efficient spender of money. That is for the people to do. People manage their home expenses well, people manage their businesses well. It's not the job of the government to be able to manage business. So when the government keeps its demand on the economy low, and a very good measure of that is the fiscal deficit being under control, that gives an extremely good signal to the rest of the economy to do its work. Days later, we'll have the Reserve Bank of India coming out with its monetary policy.
The first of the year.
Absolutely. And it'll be very comfortable for the Reserve Bank of India to see all these things are happening because remember, about half of India's population depends on the rate of interest because their income, their expenditure is linked to the rate of interest on the loans they take out. And those loans rates can stay comfortable only if the government keeps its own house under control.
Shuma, beyond the figures, numbers and data that there in the economic survey, it also talks about certain concerns, certain challenges, such as the artificial intelligence and digital addiction. So the survey says that instead of chasing the world's fastest algorithms or flashiest models, India is positioning AI as a solution to everyday challenges. In fact, the CEA, Mr. Nageswaran, flagged risks linked to artificial intelligence, including skilling gaps and dependence on foreign models. So how do you view this?
Yes, in fact, days earlier, the Minister for Electronics and Information Technology, Mr. Ashwini Vaishnav, speaking at Davos, made a very similar point that given the different stages of AI, he said India will be the world's leader in application AI, which means that what the developing applications which are based on AI. Our startup system is a wonderful platform where lots of these things can happen and in so many other ways. Now, that is possible in India and that can only happen when we don't get into complications of thinking that we have to develop foundational models. Agreed that those things will also be needed to be looked into. But they are not the primary focus of the AI modeling or the AI architecture that we're looking at. Very soon we'll have the India AI Summit.
Yes.
And there also the issues would be that how well can the return for a company happen? So AI becomes useful to a company, because after all it's a tool, if the investment in AI creates a substantial enough return, only then, I mean the difference in cost and the final price, becomes useful to the company to invest in. And that can only happen if there's application AI. So the finance chief economic advisor's comment that we should be looking at application AI rather than looking at foundational model holds, there's a lot of truth in it. That means that given India's development journey and all that, it's good and it's useful that we develop these sort of capacities which harness AI, gives fast returns, brings in our youth into the entire process, and the digital addiction that you're talking about can actually be sort of structured, can be harnessed or can be canalized to create possibilities and opportunities which they would otherwise not be getting. So there's a lot of synergy in that process.
What are your expectations from the union budget?
Well, first thing, he made it very clear. I mean, he didn't say so, and that is still very clear that don't expect anything on the income tax front. So that is the direct taxes, the rate of growth is just trailing the budget expectation, budget numbers. So I'll be very surprised if the finance minister thinks of any further giveaways this year. So that's one thing. On the indirect tax, the entire process is now handled by GST Council. So the indirect taxes, obviously nothing can be changed by the budget. Those have to come in from there. The changes that can happen is in the customs side.
Yeah.
And considering that India has just signed the EU FTA, I would expect a fair long range of process already to start in terms of rationalizing the tariffs on imports. And that I think will be a very major one. In terms of expenditure, I would expect the government to have already, you see, this year is the year when the government will be taking in the award of the 16th Finance Commission, the Pay Commission, and also the impact of lots of other giveaways that it already promised this year. So given all of that, the government's space to do expenditure on other things is very limited. Right. But I would expect the government to be very strongly show itself committed to capital expenditure. It should basically be a platform for the states now to carve out their interesting budgets.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. Shubham, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Spotlight.